Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 322. This is your host, Kevin. With me on the other end is Chris. How are you doing?
I am doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
Can't argue. We're in the home stretch for the wedding, which will be nice to be done with. My friends, at least the contingent that I hung out with this past weekend, are not craft beer aficionados. They are perfectly fine having their Bud Light and Yingling Light as their beverage of choice.
There's a Yingling Light?
Yes.
I did not know that. I heard of Yingling, but I did not know that there was a light of Yingling. Interesting.
Yeah, so I have a lot of leftover beer from the weekend, and that happens to come in the form of Four Strings Infinite Lives Double IPA. So I'll get that one out of the way for the Sippy Time Beer of the Week to start with. And, yeah, well, I knocked off a whole growler of... Great Lakes has a beer called Nosferatu that's an imperial red ale. And it was 8% alcohol. I finished that growler at the game, which, let's just say, drinking over about 66 ounces of an 8% alcohol beer is not always the best plan.
Yeah, you probably... Running out of the field, didn't you?
No, we were just watching on a TV near the field. So, no thoughts about that.
But that's been going... A lot of people at WWE events have been having that thought lately.
Yeah, they have. It's been kind of strange. And isn't this the second time it's been Dean Ambrose?
Second time it's been Dean Ambrose. One guy threw a briefcase at Roman Reigns, and then that dude that just walked to the ring was just casually strolled to the ring with Seth Rollins before security realized he wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think that it's worth it, but you've got to wonder that these guys I don't know. It would be interesting to know what they had to do for this to commit this illegal act. You know, what kind of trouble did they get into?
Well, let's see. The alcohol starts flowing. Buddies start betting each other, man, I bet you wouldn't go in there, man. I bet you wouldn't go in there. $2 says you won't go in there. I'll show you.
Yeah, you know, I guess it never seemed like a good idea to
me. No, it doesn't. It
like, even in that inebriated state, it never seemed like a good plan.
No, it really doesn't. Granted, we're removed from the era where the wrestlers would beat the hell out of these fans while the police held them. But it's not a fun night in jail, I assume. As far as stories of, so what are you in for? You know, are concerned. It's a little weak. it sure isn't worth it. And you know, one of these days, one of these guys. Hopefully this crap stops. But one of these days, they're not gonna. You know, one of these wrestlers is just gonna haul off. And as far as I'm concerned, they have every right to.
Yeah, that's really the more interesting thing, is that everybody seems to do the right thing. I always recall one of my favorite moments of Kent State great James Harrison was the fact that someone ran on field at a Brown Steelers game in Cleveland, and he just picked him up and slammed him to the ground, and then held him there for security to come and get him. The guy did not look like he had a good time. I'm just saying, a 260-pound, muscle-bound gentleman is, and that's what a lot of these wrestlers, well, at least Roman Reigns is in that area. Dean Ambrose is like 220. They can probably deal with you in a fairly harsh manner while still not actually trying to haul off on you.
Right, yeah. Actually, there's an incredible story in last week's Observer about an incident in the 80s where a dude who was about 6'8", 400 pounds, this collegiate wrestler badass, was angry because Hulk Hogan blew him off at a gym. So he ran the ring during a Hulk Hogan match. He didn't go after Hulk Hogan. He went and actually took him down. Think about what would have happened if he had taken Hogan down. And they actually had, it was this wild scene to get him out of there. And but later, the guy was actually invited to become part of to train at a wrestling school. And he worked for years as the Roadblock and actually had a WCW run.
Oh, yeah, I do remember Roadblock.
Yeah, that's how he got into business.
Oh, that's pretty funny. I don't think, well, we'll have no idea unless this kind of a story comes out later if these knuckleheads found themselves in the wrestling business later on.
I don't think that guy, he looks like something of a, he looked like quite the little guy. So I guess he probably wouldn't have done much worse than Jericho.
Oh, well, I mean, he is kind of involved with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. And because, I mean, what else is there really to say about a bunch of knuckleheads finding their way onto the ring?
Right.
You know, it was kind of funny. I did find the Jericho appointment as the mystery partner disappointing, but it also made complete and utter sense.
Yeah, it made sense. It's going to lead somewhere, although I'm not sure where, because Jericho is still on his reduced schedule, where he's only doing house shows, so I'm not sure when he's going to come back and play. I guess the next time we'll see him, he'll be seen as that is the show on the is the Garden Show on the network. So he'll be back in on a televised event, in a week and a half. So I guess maybe they'll continue something with him.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news, because that was a little odd not having him on at all.
Last night. I guess it's a slow burn story. I'm assuming if he's coming back to be a regular character on TV, he's gonna be a heel again.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going to be a tough sell just because that always seems to be a tough sell. But these split crowds now, I'm not sure how much it matters to me to make a coherent storyline. But crowd reaction wise, I'm not sure that it's going to matter, because dueling chants are definitely the thing of now. So Jericho against Ambrose. Jericho's done a good job of picking wrestlers that are good wrestlers to have these mini feuds with, during this stint of his career, the comeback to job to, the new stars.
Yeah, he picks his spots very well. Actually, he probably does. He on his last probably one, you know, two runs. He probably did way too many jobs, and not just the, you know, the key ones. He did just lost, you know, lost after match. So
yeah, he
it loses effectiveness after a while, especially as a baby face. So as a heel, there would be more juice him doing a feud with Roman Reigns or with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, Jericho seems to be able to flip the switch either way. He'll do as good a job as anyone can at getting boos.
Yeah, he's, you know, that great run he had in 2008 with Shawn Michaels. I mean, that was just completely reinventing himself, taking out every single thing that people cheered about Y2J and throwing it away and starting fresh. It was tremendous. So I'm sure, I don't know if he's got another, you know, reinvention in him, but he can be a great heel. So
yep. So that should end up being some fun, whatever he ends up doing. So I can't really argue. I just the only logic part that kills me is just like, I understand he has a vendetta with the Wyatt family, but I'm like, really? You're going to expect that guy to help take care of Braun Strowman?
Yeah, I was thinking that they needed some size, and they certainly didn't get that. But Roman and Dean were doing very well against them.
Yeah, they seem to be letting them get some offense on him. And it was kind of funny on Raw when Randy Orton showed up, and I always forget from time to time how big of a gentleman Randy Orton is, because he wasn't that much shorter than Braun Strowman.
Yeah, no, he was not. Yeah, Randy Orton's a very, very big guy, and yeah, it was definitely that was definitely a good way to kick off Raw. They changed up the formula somewhat, putting different guys out there. They talk less, a lot of action. I give two thumbs up to the Raw opening segment.
Yeah, that's kind of funny because it had gotten a little bit stale, but for the most part, they could turn the page on most of the feuds. The key words, unfortunately, being most of the feuds.
Right, yeah.
The fact that there's a possibility that the Dolph Ziggler-Rusev thing is going to continue even further. I was just like, okay, this was a terrible blow-off win at Night of Champions, but it appeared as if he played Summer Rae, and then, you know, everything was done. But on Raw, I can't imagine that Rusev screams "She's my Lana" at him multiple times, and then just kind of walks away from this feud.
Yeah, no, this is going to continue, and I don't know when Lana is going to be back on television. It's 4 months. They said 4 months before she can begin training to have her first match again. But she can be on TV probably quite a bit sooner than that. So this is obviously continuing, and again, hope against hope that this, that Lana and Rusev end up back together in the end. It'll all be worth it when that happens.
Oh man, I can't take the waiting for that to happen anymore. Like, that was the one thing that I'm like, woman, Lana, you can get back out there at the Broken Hand and be on TV. We don't need a blow-off match between you and Summer. Like, really? I'm okay with it. Like, it's all good in the hood.
Yeah.
Just put the act back together and Really, Rusev will be better for it. Ziggler stopping, looking like a douche might help him. Just all around, it'd help everybody.
But no, it must continue. At the very least, we'll be graced with the comedy stylings of Rusev.
This is true. We did not get any of those.
Although Rusev and the New Day made a fantastic team.
Yeah, he wasn't doing anything from normal, but them kind of dancing along as he did his little usual, I don't know if you want to call it prayer session or what exactly he does. But them hamming it up during that, just... those guys just really are, because... I wasn't completely sure. I think Jeremy and I brought this up last week about he was kind of thinking that New Day was getting more cheers now. And after watching the pay-per-view and Raw, I'm like, okay, yeah, they have turned everybody already at this point.
Yeah, they're baby faces. They're wrestling other baby faces and they're pretty much killing the other baby faces' reactions, but they're baby faces.
Oh, man. But again, like, I just think because they still are acting like heels, and they actually have a, dare I say the words, legitimate issue with the Dudley boys. I'm not sure if saving the tables is a legitimate issue. But they're harping on the same thing. The fact that Xavier Woods had that piece of wood lodged between his buttocks and had to have it removed.
I was insane. That was so great. I want them to stay like this. I don't want them to go in the direction of, you know, actually turning baby faces and actually truly pandering to the people and not you know, fake pandering to the people, you know what, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's what I think that's why I do still like them, is that they haven't, thankfully they haven't made that switch yet.
No, I mean, I guess it'll be inevitable, but yeah, at least they're wrestling the Dudleys, who people are still getting used to having back yet. They're still getting cheered, so. And this feud's gonna go another month, so I'm sure they won't do any crazy turn with the New Day, and, you know, anytime soon.
There's too much in them still, again, at least acting the heel, to help further, further this feud, because even if they only go really to Hell in a Cell, in some ways it's a waste with the Dudleys. Like, I in no way would mind this thing going 3 months already.
Not at all. This has got a lot of life to it, and oh my goodness, Xavier Woods. Playing Rusev's theme on the trombone. It was great. At first, you weren't sure exactly what he was doing, and it took about 30 seconds to figure it out.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's in some ways getting a little too good at that.
he's got to stop practicing.
But what he's does his outside trash talking really is my favorite part. Like, and that was another topic, and maybe you can confirm, because I'm not always looking for that kind of stuff, that the WWE kind of felt like the trash talking was more, how did he word that? It was not stylish to do the trash talking. For the WWE, the producers, they didn't think that that was the way to go.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
That may have been a conversation with you and Jeremy.
Oh, no. He said that it was a WWE thing to not allow the trash talking in the ring. And I guess I was wondering if you had heard of anything of that nature. Because in small doses, like Xavier Woods does it, it really is worth it. Like, if everyone talked trash during every match, it would probably get old in a hurry. But allowing something like that is just brilliant.
Yeah, it adds so much to the presentation. I mean, Xavier Woods is just he's simply he's the hardest working man in the show.
Oh, man.
He's working himself into a sweat every night outside on the outside.
And yeah, I'm trying to think of what really happened in that match, because it wasn't too much of a surprise that there was a DQ at Night of Champions. Again, we both last week assumed that that something was going to extend this feud anyway.
Yeah, it was too soon, and as I said, they didn't do enough with the save the tables movement going into the pay-per-view, because they had to have that week where the primetime players were still in the picture. And now it's, you know, granted they're going to have a match at Madison Square Garden, which is interesting because both Bubba and Devon are from New York, so you could do a quickie title change and then change back at Hell in a Cell if you wanted to.
Oh, I would be completely okay if they don't do that, but we'll see. the tag team titles have played enough hot potato, in my opinion. Yeah. Just the way that they tossed into the primetime players, then immediately made New Day the focus of the tag team division was bad enough.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know if that's what'll happen, but obviously that match is now advertised for the special, which should be October is going to be a hell of a month on the network. I pretty much made the remark the other night in the secret group. If you're not a subscriber to the network in the month of October, you're just a broke ass moron with dial up. I mean, there's no excuse with everything that they're offering in the month of October.
What I guess what else is there? Hell in a Cell then.
There's the Madison Square Garden show that's next Saturday. Then the Wednesday after that, it's TakeOver with Bayley versus Asha in the Iron Woman match. Then Brock's gonna be on the Stone Cold podcast, and then Hell in a Cell with Lesnar versus Undertaker in the Cell, which is actually. Very, very interesting that they're going there with that. I thought there was a possibility that they would do that with Hell in a Cell upcoming, and it's kind of, you know, perfect match for the Cell, but all indications were that they were holding that Lesnar versus Taker 3 off until WrestleMania. But apparently, whatever plans that were in place for WrestleMania were absolutely just blown up in the last week. So something happens. They've got... They're not doing this unless they've got something else big for Lesnar.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and there's really, when I say big in comparison to an Undertaker match, that only leaves two potential opponents, really, you know? And there's, of course, you know, Lesnar doing that podcast the week before, you know, Hell in a Cell with Austin. Being, you know, done live in Dallas, the home of WrestleMania, that's leading to some speculation, for sure.
Yeah, it would be kind of funny if it came true after everyone's just like... Or after Hogan... Why did I just call him Hogan? oh my God, after Austin went into promo mode on Paul Heyman, and he's like, nope, there's no chance in hell that I'm doing this. Because it's just like, okay, that seemed a little too serious for the podcast.
Right, you know, I mean, they had to kind of temper people's anticipation for it, because, you know, obviously they hadn't shot the angle, they were months and months away from shooting the angle, or they weren't sure if Austin could pass a physical, or what have you, but, yeah, it's very, very, it's a hell of a coincidence if, you know, I guess if it really isn't, then...
Yeah, that leaves the other guy in this equation, and his name is Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not Austin, then it's gonna be Rock versus Lesnar. They're not throwing away Lesnar versus Undertaker for Lesnar versus Roman Reigns again. I don't think.
Yeah, that's stadium. Yeah, I'm quite positive that they have a bigger draw in mind. And like you said, those are really the only two possibilities.
Right.
And I mean, well, I guess that's kind of interesting, just because Taker in his last match, I'm not sure that you'd get much bigger of a draw than that. I mean...
Well, there's talk that Undertaker's actually feeling really good, and he's not entirely sure if he wants... this to be his last match.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll get to that a little later. The thought on my head, but the so it might not necessarily be his last match. I'm thinking, you know what? They've never done a big Undertaker versus Cena match, and the window is closing on that, on the potential to do that. So, you know, maybe that's an idea.
Oh, yeah, that is, that would be pretty interesting. for the U.S. title.
Yeah, that would be quite interesting.
I would officially say I'm living in Bizarro World. I'd be okay with the Cena versus Taker. If that gets thrown in there, I would just really be weirded out by the situation. And I'm trying to think, because we were just on, oh, the big network stuff was where we had tangented off of. Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting. I guess you point out that takeover is in a couple of weeks, not that I'm too far behind on NXT, but I'll have to do a little catching up. I think I'm only behind on last week's episode, so it's not far at all.
Not at all.
And really, I don't know how much they can't have done that much stuff with Bayley and Sasha again, because it's only been a week that I've missed.
Right? No. You on the next episode you're going to end up watching, which is last week's. It's the build up angle. I mean. They announced the match. They didn't even bother to like keep it like under wraps. You know, they just came right out and announced it on social media that, you know, this is the match that's happening. You know, before they even showed the angle on TV, because I figure, you know, spoilers get out and everyone's gonna know anyway.
Yeah, it's smart to kind of get ahead of the story at this point, just because, like you said, you know that it's gonna be out there. May as well get some hype going for it early.
Yeah, so I mean that takeover is going to be in once again, because the women's title match is going on last. It's going at least 30, and they are going to do the two semis and then the finals of the Dusty Classic tournament. So that's three tag matches plus a 30-minute women's match and a 2-hour show.
Because there was only 8 teams to begin with, correct?
Yes, there's only 8 teams.
Oh.
Well, wait a minute. Were there 8 teams? I think it might have been 16, actually.
Okay.
Because...
I don't ever remember seeing a bracket, and I was just wondering If Johnny Wrestling was going to get a shot on the NXT TakeOver, or if him and Tommaso Ciampa were going to be on the sidelines by the time the TakeOver happened.
Well, that match did air on last week's episode. I won't spoil it for you.
Okay. So, yeah, that was their second round match then.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing the quarterfinals all on... Almost all on the upcoming house shows.
Well, so, then, yeah, they have... that was 16 teams then.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've done a lot of matches away from Full Sail. And not airing them in their entirety.
Oh, yeah, I did forget about that, because the last episode I did watch, there were a number of ones that they just kind of did a little clip show for them. They just said where they were wrestled.
It's kind of weird that they're doing them at these, you know, armory shows in Florida in front of about 200 people. It doesn't exactly look the greatest on TV, even in clip form.
It's a little different, but I mean, if you just want them to get exposure to the smaller crowds, you know, it's the way to go.
Right.
Okay. Well, I don't, is there anything else? Well, yeah, I was going to think about anything else to talk about with NXT, but I really don't have anything because I am a little in the past on that. What else have we not... Oh, my gosh. Okay, you brought up Sasha and Bayley. That's the way we can get out of this one.
Okay.
On topic that I... Oh, man. I feel bad in some ways for Paige. Just because... They have given her just a very flippable character. Like, she's gone babyface, heel, babyface, heel, babyface in about the course of 2 years now? A little over 2 years?
Not even 2 years. Barely a year and a half.
Oh, that's right. It was last WrestleMania.
Yeah. She
okay.
She's turned a lot. Yes. She can absolutely have. They've given her AJ's crazy chick character who can flip on a dime.
And I mean, I guess I don't mind it because I thought that she played things fairly well the first time around. It got a little bit weird because it was crazy on crazy and nobody had any idea who to root for.
Right.
But my goodness. I just, it's just, they built up this whole, team thing for the Divas. And then they blew it up right away.
I really am. That doesn't bother me in the least. I've hated the team concept from the beginning. So.
Well, I know that I've hated it from the beginning too. But the problem for me is that it just wrecks the continuity of everything. Like, it's just another part. Like, it's bad that Paige is flopping enough. But then your storylines are flopping around too. And it was bound to happen at some point.
Right, yeah. It just doesn't bother me at all. So I guess I'm just let's just get this over with. Let's just get these people away from, well, obviously the Bellas aren't going away from each other, and Alicia Fox has nothing better to do but follow them around, but let's get, you know, and let's at least break up the trio aspect, you know, as you said in your half-ass review, let's untie these anchors from Sasha. And, you know, Becky Becky and Charlotte can still be friends, team with each other, and maybe Natalya will end up joining them in a mentor role because she's, you know, the 32-year-old mother hen. That's what she is, essentially. She's my age, and they treat her like she's the house mom of these divas.
And that, man, I mean, I do, in some ways, like, she is the most, and we've discussed this, and it hasn't been in a while, but she is the most loathsome character. When I, in my time watching Total Divas, she was just the worst person.
Oh, yeah, she is still just the worst person on that show. Her, I feel horrible for Tyson Kidd. It's just, I've never cared for her character. I feel like, well, once again, I've always felt that she, you know, it was smug superiority, you know, masking as a baby face, and I've never cared for her. But
yeah,
she's back now, so they might as well use her.
Well, and I guess that's the part where I feel bad for her, is that I've always felt like she's good in the ring, and I feel like when, and it was hard to tell with the cat suit this week, but when she was on TV most recently, she had slimmed up a little bit, and I did not think that was I thought it was a good thing for her mobility, and just for her quality of work anyway, because she was a little bit stiff because she just wanted to be too big.
Yeah, she absolutely looks great now. I mean, she was certainly, you know, in the gym during her time off, so, you know, good for her. I've never really had anything against her in the ring. In the ring, she's good, you know, and great on her best day, so I'm not, you know, I won't knock her there, so hopefully she's at least back to be, you know, a regular wrestler on the roster. It's just time to a minimum.
Yeah, I was just a little surprised that they seem to have shown very little faith in Naomi, and to me it was somewhat telling that she got the victory over Natalya right after a comeback. I mean, I know that she had a little bit of help with some distractions, but that's still a little surprising to me.
I assume it's leading somewhere. I'm not entirely sure where. I mean, I guess maybe Natty can end up joining up with Paige and, you know, going heel, which I wouldn't mind, because once again, I believe she's a natural heel. And
yes.
Or she could end up, you know, with Charlotte and Becky. So, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I guess I was leaning towards Paige just only because they had the their little moment backstage.
Yeah, I do more see that as where it's more likely going. Yeah, absolutely, I do see that a heel turn for Natty as being, you know, the forgotten diva.
Right. And I'm trying to think of what other big angles there were on Raw this week.
I will say, not quite as much as the New Day, but Kane really amused me. It was campy as all hell, but I enjoyed him all night. I've never seen him that jovial, and they really do need to put that cut that world's great. Up for auction. I'm pretty sure it could fetch up a pretty penny.
Oh, man. Yeah, his characters continue. Like, that guy, again, like, he was pretty, and I mean, he still is. Like, there's still not that much, I can't imagine he still has that much for legs for a character in general, or at least an in-ring character. But playing this Hurricane-like character certainly is pretty amusing.
It was very amusing. It was, if you're gonna do this match, you know, and it's gonna play, at, you know, second fiddle at House, obviously. So you don't need to throw a big match out there. So, and if you're gonna go with Kane, yeah, at least make it entertaining. I mean, if anyone can have a good match with Kane at, you know, at this point in his career, it certainly is Rollins. He was, you know, the MVP of that 24-hour period, without a doubt. I mean, the guy is just so good. I mean, issues with the presentation, his presentation as champion aside, in the ring, there is no one better right now.
Yeah, he is really, really good. And that's why it was funny bringing that he's jacked up two of the larger stars recently. Really, upon second review, or at least from Sting's management, and I can't recall the guy's name exactly, but he seemed like Sting was going to make a full recovery, and that, because, like, they... People were talking about a career-threatening neck injury that had happened.
Well, it still might be. I mean, he's 0-2 in singles matches now. You know, there's not much more. There's not much more cachet left, and, you know, there's not much more equity left in Sting. You know, he really shouldn't have lost that match to Triple H. Especially if, after all, you know, Triple H isn't going to be waiting for Rock after all. He is, but even so, he should have won that. He should have won at WrestleMania.
That's
a huge mistake.
Yeah, and that was the only thing. I'm like, well, he's not going to have that many matches left anyway.
Right.
When I saw the career threatening, I'm just like, well, what do you have? 2-3 matches in him or something?
Yeah, I mean, he could be. You know, until the end, like, it was, you know, a whiplash type situation on the buckle bomb. Sting was having a hell of a match.
Yeah, I mean, really, if he was pretty jacked up, I mean, I know they went pretty quickly to the finish. But he still got through that thing.
Yeah, he did, and I still don't even know what they were thinking. Pushing him through the table without moving the monitors—that's that was just stupid, and that could have ended even worse.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that was more interesting to me. Was just the fact that I'm just like, this seems like a bad idea to give, is he 52 or 56? I'll have to check. 56.
He's 56, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care how good a shape he's in for a 56-year-old. It just seems like a bad plan. Like, it seems like a bad plan to give, like, everyone on the roster a buckle bomb. The 56-year-old guy... it just really sounds like an exceptionally bad idea.
Yeah. And so, and the table bump did finally prompt someone to write into to Dave Meltzer and ask, "What is it? See, maybe he knows why they're still using those big metal, you know, monitors, and they haven't moved to plastic flat screen panels yet."
Yeah, it's a little surprising, that they don't pull, an NFL who, just, had Microsoft, okay all the pads that can be on the sidelines.
Yeah. Why they don't have Surface tablets or big iPads.
Yeah, I don't. They say iPad enough on that show to try and get a sponsorship. I mean, surely someone's got to give them some money if they use those.
Although I guess you can. You can't use the building's Wi-Fi to have your announcers calling the show. They have to be plugged in.
Well, I mean, you can plug the pads in, I think.
I guess you probably. It's technology and, you know, multi-million-dollar corporations. I'm sure they could do anything, but, you know, using those big metal things. There's definitely a better answer than those.
Yeah, there is a better option in there somewhere. And, yeah, they just need to move to it sooner rather than later, just for the sake of Sting or any other wrestler. Because they usually are smart enough to take out those objects before they do the maneuver.
Right.
But, hey, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen, so better be safe than sorry. Let JBL and Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler pull their pad out of the way, and then they can still continue to call the action.
Yeah, actually, that's actually a great idea. It doesn't have to have that stage look whenever a wrestler's removing the monitors himself before he puts his opponent through the table. I hate you, man, but I don't hate you that much.
I hate you enough to protect you. you know what? Another enjoyable part of Raw to me on the regular here recently is Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Kevin Owens is, you know, he's finally got a championship. He's, you know, he's doing well. Although, I mean, this Ryback feud isn't the most inspiring thing for him to do. I don't think they have that great of chemistry together, and they're obviously going to be going at least another. Seem to be going at least another month with it. So, I don't know if we're going to be seeing the best of Kevin Owens, but it's good to see him have a championship, and he's definitely, you know, still strong, very strong on promos.
Well, and I just, Ryback's problem still just stems from the fact that he's better as a, you know, to go back to that cocky heel thing. Like, when he was just kind of making fun of people, it worked a lot better for him than it does now.
Right.
Trying to do this, Book of Positivity thing, like I remember loving it on Jericho's podcast, him talking about it, but it just was one of those things that it did not translate over to his character.
No, it really doesn't. It just this positive Ryback character. It doesn't work for him. But it does make for great, you know, fodder for Kevin Owens' promos. I mean, he's gotten some pretty good lines off of it.
Yes, he has, and I guess that's what I like. Like Owens, they've been very smart. Some people have started to cheer him, but for the most part, he is such a dick all the time that it's hard to get behind him.
Yeah, I really liked how he won the title by breaking a man's eyes. I thought that was great.
That's one that I can't believe that they're making that big of a deal out of. And it also just seems like something that a big, strong guy, while I understand that it would cause you to stop doing your maneuver, I'm not quite sure why that would lead to your pinfall.
Because he was... I guess he couldn't see. He was... He was in shock. He didn't know what to do.
Well, I would say get your shoulders off the mat is the least that you could do.
Oh, come on. Like, that's instant.
I mean, it is giving Owens a chance to shine. I like him a lot. Like, any of that fear of him being too fat to hold anything, like, I guess it's one of those things where it's really, and I know that I mentioned this to Jeremy in our talk, but, you know, there have been a really limited number of people that have, that are capable of raising the identity of a belt. And the IC belt has been cursed since Daniel Bryan got injured. Because
the IC belt has been cursed a lot longer ago than that. About 5 years at least.
Well, that's true, but they at least had a plan for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you could see that the intention was, for the first time in a while, the intention was there to get somewhere with both the IC and the U.S. title. Granted, only the U.S. title has gone anywhere, but the intention was there for the first time in, like you said, about 5 years.
Yeah, the intention was there, and hopefully the intention is back now. I'm very, you know, I see Owens having a very good run. I think that, you know, a great moment will be that, you know, when Sami Zayn shows up on Raw and they, you know, perhaps shoot over the Intercontinental Championship. You also have the potential of Daniel Bryan coming back for his championship at some point, if he's ever allowed back.
Right.
So yeah, that's certainly some good stuff coming.
Yeah, so, and I guess that's why I really like it. Yeah, Owens can, to me, talk his way into any feud. Even when he has as little material as he does with Ryback, he's still making it very entertaining.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
So, yeah, maybe not his finest work, but I think it does show that he can get the heat and keep a story going no matter who it is. And finally, you know, maybe a belt is raised because of the dick heel holding on to it for entirely too long. Because, I mean, Ryback has seemed to be treading water anyway. Something needs to happen with his character. And the IC title was not what he needed.
No. He, you know, the man didn't make the title, and the title didn't make the man. It was definitely time. It was time for him to lose it. I'm glad he didn't lose to Big Show.
Uh-oh. My end has frozen up on Chris, and that would figure right about now. And I agree with him. Thank God that Big Show was not the person who got that belt. Well, Chris, before we got a little disconnected there, I did mention that I agreed with you wholeheartedly that thank goodness Big Show was not the one to pick up the IC title to.
But he was the one to punch out Cesaro in quite quick fashion.
I really don't understand why Cesaro has become job boy.
Wasn't their pick?
Huh?
He wasn't their pick, and we have to spite these for choosing him on their own.
Yeah, the Cesaro section week after week is not quite enough yet. Something else has got to happen for him. And I'm still at a loss. Like, I in some ways understand, but wow.
It's up to you. Go for it. Go with it. I mean, it's as simple as that. And, you know, you've got a roster full of guys who are less than just guys. But you could have bet to the Big Show to get him ready for Brock.
Oh. Yeah, well, Mark Henry was already used once that night, so they couldn't trot him out there a second time.
Yeah, unfortunately not, no. But, yeah, you still, there's still, you know, anyone else.
Yeah, because for some reason, even though they kept mentioning it, I was forgetting the fact that he was taking on Brock Lesnar. And it really wasn't until after the outcome of the match, I'm like, why did I think Cesaro had a chance to win this time?
Yeah, no. They're in full-blown protect the Big Show mode until, at least until next Saturday.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't, whatever. Lesnar's beaten up Big Show recently, but then that's kind of their other problem. As much as I like the new roster, there's a real limited amount of guys who are big enough to look like a threat to Brock Lesnar. And despite the fact that Big Show's kicked his ass, at least when you see them in the ring against each other, you can understand why they build this as a heavyweight clash.
Well, I mean, they've had a lot of matches in the past. It's never not amazing to watch Brock throw Big Show around. Although I don't know if at this age, Big Show is going to be taking a bunch of suplexes, but you know, it's a Brock Lesnar match. It's what people expect. So, I'm pretty sure it won't be unentertaining.
Big Show's another one to me. He has done a great job in the ring recently. You know, it's probably been his best work in years, honestly. I don't know if all these young guys have helped inspire some of these guys that have been around. Well, and again, young guys are in quotes most of the time, too.
Right. You gotta earn your keep, and I mean, he's certainly trying really hard. He's, you know, introducing some things in his matches that, you know, you wouldn't expect a 43-year-old giant to be doing, but you know, he's trying to adapt. He's trying to keep himself relevant this day and age. And good cap for him.
Yeah, so I definitely understand wanting to do it, but like you said, really have anyone but Cesaro job to him, please and thank you.
Right.
Oh man, I do think, honestly, as far as topics go, that really could do it for me. Is there anything else we haven't really?
Well, we could certainly talk for a little bit about once again TNA being given yet another stay of execution.
Oh,
they're going to be on Destination America into at least the 2016.
I did not see that.
Yeah, that actually came out last week.
Oh, shortly after we said that nothing had been said.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I always enjoy that.
I mean, make no mistake about it, they're still canceled. But they're going to be giving, they're giving, just like Spike TV did, they're being given, you know, whether they're being given until the end of the year to find a new home. Lord knows where that'll be at this point.
Well, I guess what is the official announcement, since I didn't, since I must have missed it?
That this continue airing on Wednesday nights from 9 to 11, at least through the end of 2015.
Ah. Okay.
They have no real television taped, but they will just be cobbling together footage from things that they shot that were supposed to be air for those one night only shows no one watches. But so there's just gonna be, we're just gonna have months worth of just matches, just thrown to, odd, random, thrown together matches on Impact with no storylines, unless they're able to get, you know, people in the studio to cut in, to do interviews or what have you.
Yeah, I did enjoy the fact one of the former employees of Prime Wrestling, Joe Dombrowski, did some house announcing for them this past week for TNA, a ring announcing, and it was enjoyable to me to hear him say that things are great and the locker room morale is awesome. And that the people that put out pictures of the crowd are purposely putting out bad pictures.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's what's going on.
You know, I can go, okay, yeah, if you take a picture of the crowd at the hard camera side, maybe it's a little sparse. Or more sparse than the rest of the arena. But I'm just going to mention this. When I was at Money in the Bank, Nationwide Arena had no problems filling up the hard camera side.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
So it's just one of those things, just like, dude, you were probably in a 3,000-seat arena, and you're still admitting that you didn't sell the place out. Like, what to you says nationally ranking wrestling promotion?
TNA right now. TNA's not doing 500 people. Meanwhile, ROH is packing them in at least 1,000 almost every weekend now. So, I mean, ROH is officially doing better than TNA in every metric.
Yeah.
Except for the Destination America ratings, but when you factor in the syndicated ratings and Sinclair, they're smoking a man, too.
Oh, well, yeah. In storyline-wise and wrestling-wise, they're smoking him also. And I forgot that Lucha Underground is getting a second season officially.
Yeah, that's they'll be back on, as has been noted, very, 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 very minimal penetration. But, you know, there's kind of usual places to find it online, and I believe they're looking for a better deal in Mexico that will really help, you know, set them up for, you know, the half money wise. But no, a very, very enjoyable show in its first season. I definitely look forward to having it back.
Yeah, I haven't searched online for those locations. So I haven't really seen it, but again, it seems like they're doing something that truly is out of the box for a professional wrestling organization. It doesn't sound all that, you know, it sounds like kind of a modern take on things, at least, you know, having these, you know, movie type skits in between. It does help fill in the characters for people, I'm sure. So it's, you know, hey, have at it. I hope eventually I get the El Rey Network to at least, be able to judge it, on my own.
Yeah. Hopefully El Rey has some growth over the next, over the next few months and is able to be in more homes by the time season two arrives.
Yep. So, yeah, those are the end of the topics then.
I believe we're done here.
Okie dokie. Welp, for at myself, DeFrango11, for at Chris Calamita, for the brand at Stunt Granny, you kids have a good night.
Later.